Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everyone. This is Carol Topp from homeschoolcpa.com, back with another podcast episode for homeschool leaders. And today I want to talk about the topic of scholarships. A lot of homeschool organizations offer what they call scholarships to needy families in their organization. And that's a wonderful thing for groups to be able to do. I highly applaud you for doing it. But I got to tell you, I've got a pet peeve, and that is the use of the word scholarship. I don't quite know where that word scholarship came from, because what homeschool groups are really doing is offering discounts. So why don't we call them what they are, which is a discount? Let me explain. See, I'm a CPA, right? I work a lot with the IRS and understanding IRS codes and IRS forms and explaining them to homeschool groups. So to me, scholarship means what it means to the IRS, which means a payment awarded to a student to pay their tuition, usually at college, although sometimes private high schools and things like that offer scholarships. So I'm getting this definition from the IRS application form for 501c3 tax exempt status. So what happened recently was that a homeschool organization was applying for tax exempt status, and I asked the question, do you or will you offer scholarships? Because the IRS asks that question on their application. And the leaders came back and said, well, we offer basically a benevolent fund, or we offer discounts for needy families. And we had this email exchange back and forth about, no, that's not what I mean, and that's not what the IRS means when they use the word scholarship. We're talking about a program where you award money to a worthy student who's going to use it for their next level of education, like a college scholarship. So instead, I wish I could change the way homeschool leaders talk, but I have been trying for 10 years and I'm not successful. I wish I could get you to use the word discount instead of scholarship, but like I said, I've been trying for 10 years and I'm not winning this fight. So I'm not going to give up. I'm still going to try to clarify what you mean by scholarship is probably a discount. And what the IRS means when they mean scholarship is you have some sort of award program to give some sort of money to one of your graduates. And I think you should aim for both. Have a scholarship, a true scholarship program, and also have a true benevolent fund or discount program. Hey, if you're going to set up a discount program, let me give you a few tips, okay? First of all, I obviously recommend that anytime a family comes expressing a need, or better yet, you find out about a family in need, you bring it to the board and a decision is made by a group of people. Obviously, not one person should be making a decision when someone gets a discount on their fees. I think that it's also healthy for organizations to plan how much they can afford to give away in discounts. You know, you don't want to bankrupt the organization because you weren't planning carefully. You know, even Jesus said, before you're going to build a tower, make sure you consider the cost. So before you give out discounts or, you know, meet the needs of needy people in your organization, make sure you have planned for that in the budget. So here's typically what I recommend you do. You make up a budget saying, okay, here's all the money we think we can bring in. Here's our expenses. Hopefully there's a little bit of reserve. Then you go back and under the category where it says, you know, your sources of income, put a little negative sign and then say discounts, meaning that what you're trying to show the board and your treasurer is hopefully trying to express to you is that giving a discount is not an expense because you're not really writing a check to the family. You're merely bringing in less income than you would normally. That's why you show it as a line item with a negative under income. Meaning, hey, if everybody paid full fare, we'd get such and such amount of money, but we're going to have this little negative number there to show you what we're not going to collect in income because we're giving a discount. Okay, related to that, I don't recommend that you actually write a check to a family. I don't recommend that. I recommend that if you are going to have some sort of benevolent type of program, that you merely give them a discount on your fees. And how much of a discount is completely up to you. You know, waive the whole fee, waive part of the fee. Of course, that depends on what you can afford. And it kind of depends on how much your fees are, to be perfectly honest. You know, also some groups have gone to a model where the fee that the group charges is relatively small, but that's because each parent is paying a teacher. This is mostly true in a homeschool co-op, paying the teachers independently, buying their supplies independently, so the homeschool organization isn't really charging a very large fee. So I had one leader tell me, he said, "Carol, we'd love to be able to help needy families, but our fees are only $35 or $50 or something like that." Most of the money is paid directly by the parents to a teacher, or paid by the parents to buy the books for the class. And so they asked, can we pay one of these hired teachers on behalf of the parent? And I said, "Ooh, you know, I don't know. All of a sudden now you're in a relationship, financial and legal relationship with this teacher, but you're not the, meaning the co-op is not the one receiving the services of the teacher, that the parent who's not paying is, the needy parent." Oh, it gets a little complicated, as you see. So I would say try in general to not write a check to a needy family, because therefore you lose the ability to determine how the money is spent. And also try not to pay their expenses, like pay a teacher on behalf of the needy family. You know, if people organically or spontaneously want to take up a collection and hand it to that person as a true gift to that needy person, certainly do all you can to encourage that. But in general, I'd say stick with the idea of the homeschool co-op's policy for needy families is to reduce your fees charged to the family, but try not to pay their expenses. Got that? Okay. You know, another thought, where does the money come from to be generous and offer these discounts? Well, I hinted at it earlier when I said it comes from your budgeting process. Hopefully you're bringing enough revenues from most people through your fees, tuition, stuff like that, to offer a small discount to some people, or a full discount to a few people, something like that. But hey, if you find, no, we're running, you know, too close to the border for that, then some groups do different kinds of things, okay? They might have like a fundraiser to fund the benevolent fund. Okay, too many words there. But the idea is, hey, let's have a fundraiser, and anything from that fundraiser goes into our discounts, our benevolent fund, to help needy people. Okay. There's some pros and cons to that. Well, what if the fundraiser is a dud, you know, and you didn't bring in much money? Then you can't help very many families that year. Or what if it's gangbusters? Do you give out more discounts? And is there, unfortunately, an expectation to a family that's going to expect that discount every year, right, if their financial situation doesn't change? So there's some pros and cons of tying your fundraiser proceeds to your benevolence. I like the idea of just saying, hey, if we have a fundraiser, you know, what can we expect from a fundraiser? Again, you budget for fundraisers too. Try to put in a good guess of what you think your income from that fundraiser will be, and of course, expenses if there are any for the fundraiser. And then just do a good job, just like we have to hopefully do in our families, is budget all your expenses out of all your sources of income. Gather what I'm saying? I hope so. Instead of tying a specific expense like fundraiser to a specific source of income, just do a good budget and a couple iterations on your budget to say, how generous can we be? And as the year goes along, reevaluate. Hey, do we have a little more in the benevolent fund that we're not using up? Do we know of any families that can use it? Or do we need to pull back a little bit on our generosity? That's the job of the treasurer, to keep an eye on that kind of stuff. Other folks use things like a donation drives. They simply ask for donations, and they say all the donations received are going into our benevolent fund. And you don't have to keep the fund in a separate savings account or checking account if you don't want to. A good treasurer just keeps track of it, you know, in her record keeping, you know, what's was raised and put into the fund, although it's not different physical fund, it's more on paper. And then she keeps track of how much money was spent out of the fund, what's left in the fund. And again, like I said, some groups use donation drives, and that's kind of neat. And some groups instead use fundraisers to establish and maintain their benevolent fund. And of course, you can carry over that benevolent fund to the next year. So maybe you don't spend it all because you know that, you know, come the fall, there might be more families that need a discount or need a little help. So that's my podcast about scholarships. Like I said, I was very careful not to call them scholarships. I call them discounts, benevolent discounts, if you want to, because that's really what they are, discounts on your program to need families, whereas scholarships are more like awards that you give to a graduating student to pay for their next level of school, college, vocational school. I hope, again, that your homeschool organization can set up both. And if you need a little help understanding any of this, hey, well, there's two things you can do. First of all, head over to my website, homeschoolcpa.com, and there's some blog posts over there about benevolence, about discounts, about scholarships. You just go to the blog page, and there's a search box. Put in any of those words, and you'll run across blog posts I've written about all these things. Or my book called Money Management in a Homeschool Organization might be really helpful to you. And I discuss a little bit in there about scholarships, what you're calling scholarships, benevolent discounts, but mostly, you know, just how to establish a budget and how to manage the money in your organization. That book is subtitled A Guide for Treasurers. It's really the book I wrote for treasurers to understand how to manage their money well in a homeschool organization. Well, and finally, if you have some specific questions, I either answer them via email, and if they get too extensive, I do warn you, I might charge you a fee that we agree upon beforehand if it's going to take a while to answer your email questions, or phone consultations. Boy, a lot of homeschool leaders like having a phone call with me. Sometimes we get everybody on the board on the phone using a conference call or something like that, and they ask a lot of questions. And that's really helpful as we have an exchange back and forth. So this podcast has been one way, me talking to you, but I still hope these things are helpful and applicable to you as you run your homeschool organization. Thanks for all that you do. Thanks for being generous and considering establishing scholarship funds and benevolent funds and helping people homeschool their children successfully. Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.